Well, good morning, everybody. Isn't it wonderful to have great weather? It's lovely, isn't it, in the winter time when the sun is shining, it's freezing cold, but and the air is crisp. Isn't it a wonderful time of year? Well, Christmas time, and we're continuing in our Christmas series. And so I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about some Christmas verses and extract one or two encouraging things that I think the Lord has for us this morning. Do you ever think about leaving an impression? You know, you go to a party or you walk into a room or you're meeting people for the first time. It might be an interview or it might be a social gathering. Do you ever think about leaving impression? What type of impression that people have of you when you walk out the room? Do you ever think about this? Do you ever think about the impression that you want to give to people of what they may think you feel about them? Let me just say that once more so that you can follow me. Do you ever think about the impression that you give to people about what they think of what you feel about them? Matthew quite recently shared a story of a little boy that came into, I think it was Gap Wednesday, wasn't it? And as he walked through the door, he went up to Matthew and said, Matthew, do you like me? He wanted to know whether Matthew liked him. Do you ever think about whether people think that you like them? Because it makes them feel comfortable in your presence if they feel like they know that you like them or you love them. Children all the time, aren't they, are asking this question. They don't ask it verbally, but and they don't always process it in their minds in a way that they understand what's happening. But in their little hearts, they're always asking the question, do mummy or daddy love me? They're always asking that question. And of course, I know the answer to that. If you're a parent or you ever be a parent, you'll really want to know that your little children have the impression that you just don't like them, but you really, really love them unconditionally. That's what you want. Well, do you know, our Father in heaven, Jesus, God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the creator of the universe, the one who made you, wants you to have an impression about him. There's two impressions he wants. He wants you to know accurately who he is so that you get the right impression about him, that you know him truly for who he truly is. So it's not a distorted view of God, but a true view of God, that he's a good father, that he's wonderful, that he's good and pure and holy and kind and gracious and merciful, and his heart just aches for you and he's bursting with love for you and for your well-being, and that he really does say, I know the plans that I've got for you. I have plans to bless you. I've got desires to bless you more than you conceive of. I got good plans. I don't have desires or designs to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. He really wants you to know that he's a good God. And he really wants you to know how he feels about you. And in the Christmas verses I'm going to read and we're going to explore this morning, just a few, it's interesting, he sends an angel. And angels are to a number of people that announce the birth of Jesus. And angels are God's representatives. They come to bring a message or represent something of the heart and the desire of God. And when we see the angels meeting people at the first Christmas story for the first time, it's very interesting how they greet people. Because they greet people, the way they greet people is communicating how God feels about us. Let's have a look at it together, shall we? And we'll just read a few verses. One after another. Can I have the next slide? Thank you. Here's Zacharias. Matthew looked at Zacharias last week. And he was in the temple giving the incense, making an offering. And the angel turned up to tell him that his wife, who was barren in their old age, was going to have Elizabeth, that actually she gave birth to John the Baptist. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Because he'd just seen an angelic presence. And they thought, if you'd seen an angelic presence or the angel of the Lord, you were going to die. So he was gripped with fear. He was startled and gripped with fear, and the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Or in other words, be at peace. Have peace. I'm not here to whack you. I'm not here to scold you. I'm not here to judge you. I am coming to you in peace. I'm in a good mood. I know. My mum, sometimes when I know you can't ever imagine this, but occasionally when I was little, I was naughty. I know you can imagine it. There's so many things that my parents don't even know about. But I sometimes used to get caught out, and my father would be working, and occasionally my mum would say, "Wait till your father comes home." And I thought, oh no, when he comes home, I'm in trouble. But I noticed this is the one thing I noticed about my dad. Every time my dad came home, he actually didn't come home to scold me. He always came home with a heart of love for me. And do you know, this is the pattern my dad came, and I always remember it. He always came home with a gift for me in his top shirt pocket. So he'd come home from church, and he would sit on the chair, and he would cross his legs like this, reading the paper. Can you see? Like that, reading the paper. And I would climb up through the little hole of his legs, his little boy, climb up onto his knees, right onto his chest, and I would reach my hand down to his top pocket there. And in there were sweets. He would always come with a chocolate bar or a sweet for me. And that's how he came. He came to me with a heart that was for me, and he came to me with a gift for me because he thought good thoughts about me. This is how the angel came, communicating the heart of God. Don't be afraid. I've got something good for you. I've got peace for you. I've got good news for you. Next verse. Mary has an angelic experience sent by God. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, let's say it together, "Don't be afraid." Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at the next verse. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is Joseph, son of David. And the angel said to him, "Be afraid." Next verse. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Don't be afraid." And suddenly a great company of angel hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, and peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace. This is the heart that God comes to you and me. Every time his presence comes to us, every time he seeks to engage with us, he is coming with the heart and the spirit and the attitude to bring into our lives peace, well-being, goodness. He is not coming with his angry face. He's coming with his smile. His smile is upon you, and his smile is towards you. And so what I'd like to talk about in a few moments this morning is to talk to you about the peace that God wants to give you and to explore together how we can receive that peace and live in that peace, not just for Christmas. Now, Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace, but it can be a very stressful time for people, a very busy time for people when our nerves can become frayed and we become fractious and we can lose patience, and we can so easily be a little bit irritable with one another because of the pressures that we feel. But God wants us to have peace now in this season and every day of our lives. He wants us to live in peace. So let's look at it. There's three ways that we can receive and know the peace that God wants to bring to you. So let's explore it together. The first way is to know the peace with God. There's three pieces in the Bible that are for us for the taking. Peace with God. This is a kind of legal peace. This is a peace that for everybody who's put their faith in Christ, believes in Christ, turned to Christ, become a Christian, a follower of him, this is your legal right. This is your right. It's a legal peace. It's an agreement. You know, like they have the Friday agreement when, you know, we seek to bring a legal peace in Northern Ireland. It's an agreement, or the Good Friday agreement, rather. It's an agreement of peace. God, the King and Judge of heaven, has ratified and made a legal deal with you. This is the deal. When his son was sacrificed on the cross, Jesus soaked up into his body every failure, imperfection, sin, neglect, rebellion, bad thought, bad word, bad deed, past, present, future. He soaked it up into his body. And the power of it was destroyed and removed from you. It was taken from you before the hand and the eyes of God, put into Jesus, and Jesus destroyed it there. He took it to death. Can you imagine? He took it to death and broke its power by rising from the dead. Destroyed. The power of sin broken from you. Taken from you. Extracted. Put it into Christ. Broken. And rose from the dead. So all of the offense that would give any reason for there to be hostility between you and God is removed forever. Ever. And because of your faith in Christ, he has now made an agreement that he will always have an attitude of peace towards you. Nothing you can do. It's past, present, and future, gone. And your part of the agreement, this is your part of the agreement, to have faith in Christ. Turn to Jesus in faith. I turn from living my old life. I turn now by faith, and I put my faith in you that you did it for me on the cross. And through faith in the work of the cross, that fact, that's my signature. And then God adds his signature to it. It's a done deal, and it's forever. Forever. And your faith in Christ is more powerful than your mess-ups. Isn't that astonishing? Your faith in Christ is more powerful than your mess-ups. Your mess-ups don't freak God out. Because your faith has removed past, present, and future offense. And of course, when we really understand that, and we get it and it sinks in, we are filled with so much relief and gratitude. We want to live for Jesus with all our hearts. We want to be grateful. It doesn't give us like a license to go and do our own thing and repeat the mistakes of the past. When the penny sinks, it inspires us to live for him with all of our hearts and without fear. So the first foundation stone for you to live a life of peace is to take this truth, set your mind, like the verse we were speaking on this morning, set your mind on what is good, what is lovely, fix your mind on God's truth, fix it, and allow yourself and have the courage to know that your faith has brought peace with God. Look at the verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you have the courage to believe that every day, despite your imperfection? Because that is the first foundation of peace. This is received by faith, and it is maintained by faith. When I first went to a Sunday evening meeting for the very first time when I was 20 years old, the pastor was preaching and teaching, and he invited anybody who would like to publicly give my life to their lives to Jesus for the first time. And I'd never done that. I'd given my life to Jesus previously, but never publicly. So I came down the front, and he prayed for me. And I wasn't a particularly anxious person. I wasn't like racked with worry or fear. I was pretty chilled, laid back, hang loose, mother goose. I was any more laid back, I fall over, to be honest. I was kind of chilled. That was who I was, you know. Bordering on laid back, some people might call it lazy, but that's who I was. Anyway, nothing fazed me. So I never really had any anxiety. I wasn't like emotionally too much. But when I got prayed, when I publicly declared my faith in Jesus, do you know what? I experienced a peace that was even greater than the chilled, non-ruffled personality that I was. It was even deeper. Because it wasn't like a peace where I wasn't just a particularly anxious, worried. I encountered the peace with God. And it was deep. But it's a peace we receive by faith, but we must maintain it by faith, because stuff can come in that can mentally rob that peace, and we can become anxious again. Does God love me? Does God like me? Am I going to go to heaven? You know, is he going to judge me? Is he going to whack me? A lightning bolt's going to come. Is he displeased with me? Is he going to answer my prayers? Is there a barrier between me and God? No, we have faith. We have peace with God. And we have to continually allow that truth to permeate into our spirit so that we may walk in that peace. No, it doesn't mean that there may not be things that we've got to work out so we continue to live a life that honors God and praises God and continue brings us into freedom and the person he wants us to be. There's always stuff to work out. But we must never doubt that we have peace with God. And we live it and maintain it by faith. I want to encourage you to get hold of that this morning, because it will be revolutionary for your Christian life. Now, the other aspect of living a life of peace and living in this wonderful peace that God wants to give to us is there's another aspect. It's the gift or the blessing of peace. So the first peace is like a legal deal. It's yours by right. Peace with God. But then the second peace is like the peace or a blessing of God when the Spirit of the Holy Spirit comes to us and he brings to us the presence of God's peace, that we begin to experience his peace. Have you ever been in somebody's presence and you might be actually, you know, it might be a bad day. But you go into somebody's presence, have a cup of coffee with them, and just being in their presence rubs off on you. And the kind of joy or peace or atmosphere or attitude of spirit that they are begins to influence and affect you. And you come away and it's because you have been influenced by them and they've lifted you or changed you. It can work the other way. You're happy and you go into somebody else's presence and you walk out miserable. But have you been like that? But this is the thing. God is a person. And when he draws close through the presence of his Spirit, he brings who he is with him. And we can experience it and it can affect us. So the Spirit of peace comes upon us and we become clothed in his peace. So that's different between having peace with God. Oh, I got nothing to fear because I know he likes me. He's for me. But now I'm in his presence. I'm experiencing his very peace, and it comes as a blessing. So look at this. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. My peace I'm giving to you. Ooh, think about that. Not just any peace, but he is going to cause me to experience and be infused with his peace from his spirit. I give you my peace. It's not as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust him. So he is filling you with his peace so that you may overflow with hope and power in the Holy Spirit. The God of peace be with you all. Isn't that wonderful? So this comes to us as a blessing. And this is a peace that we can experience in any circumstance. So it's not about my relationship with God now. It's about the stuff I'm going through. And you can experience this. And I know many of you in this room, alongside myself, through some of the most challenging situations of life, because you only have to live life a little while on this earth to know that stuff happens. This world is not fair because it's broken. This world doesn't always deliver what we hope for because it's messed up. We only have to go through life a little bit and know that there are challenges and pains and disappointments and things that, yes, they are fearful. But in those moments, because we're in relationship with God, God's peace comes to us. And we can live in it. And it comes as a gift and as a blessing. The Bible says this: cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, there is stuff that you just can't work out mentally, but actually his peace is greater than it, and you can have peace through it. That's the peace that Jesus lived in. Every day. And he wants to give it to you. So how do we receive this peace? Well, we have to ask for it. First of all, we ask for it. And when we ask for it, saying, Lord, here's my fears, here's my challenges, I give them into your hands now. I'm giving them into your hands. And I'm trusting that you will work out your purposes for me, that these things ultimately will not ruin me or destroy me, but I am in your sovereign care and hands, and that you will lead me through this challenge, and at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it's going to be okay. Now, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, believe me, it's going to be okay. What is the worst thing that can happen to me and you? Worst thing. Well, it's that we die, isn't it? Doesn't get much worse than that, does it? Humanly speaking. You see, the thing about walking and living our life with Jesus is the very worst thing that can happen for you is the very best thing that can happen for you. When we fix our minds upon God and his eternal perspective, we only become anxious when we look at things from our own perspective. But when we actually have the courage to change our value system and value what God values and put hope in what God values and sees it from his eternal perspective, then actually we begin to live from a different hope and a different perspective. And it changes everything. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's a different angle. When we put more faith in our fears than God's promise and truth, that's when we fail to live in the peace that he wants to give us. When we put more faith in our fears. You see, to fear is a form of faith. What I mean is this, is that I'm fearing that the bad stuff is really going to happen and it's not going to be good for me. So that's, I'm putting faith in stuff that is going to work out something horrible for me. But faith in God says nothing that happens will ultimately work out for my bad. For it says, for he says, all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and according to your purpose. The worst thing that anybody could do to you or possibly happen to you, the worst thing, God has the power, this is, God has the power to change it, that it will work in the long term, for your good. All things work together for the good. Now, humanly speaking, in the moment, we don't see, how can that possibly work out for my good? We can't see it. But the scripture says we don't live by sight. We live by faith. Sight says, I can't see how this is ever going to work out. Faith says, God's word is true. God has the power. God has the ability. And as I trust him and leave my care and worry about how this is going to work out in his loving hands, he, at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, will actually cause it to work out for my good. And I'll look back and go, huh? How did he do that? Like a Joseph moment when he was put in prison, rejected by his brother, falsely accused. He was in prison for ages. And then, through all of that, he became, you know the story, Joseph's technicals of many colors, becomes president of Egypt. And then his brothers turn up, you know, when he's 30 years old or something, from another country who rejected him. And they find out he's president of Egypt. And now they are so frightened because they think he's going to kill them. He says, don't worry. What you meant for evil, God turned out for good. That's the grace of God. Romans says this. Where sin abounds, or where there is great sin, or you could change it for destruction, or evil, or bad stuff, or discouragement, it's all good. Where it abounds, and we look at it, it's abounding. And then he comes in with this great verse after us. Where sin abounds, God's grace, power, presence at work in your life, much more abounds. Don't ever think that the challenges and the stuff that you and I deal with are greater and more powerful than God's ability to make it your servant. He can make everything serve a good purpose in your life. And then we look back and go, he actually brings it to pass. So the worst thing that can happen to us really is that we die. But Paul says this, I don't know what to choose. To stay with you, that's fruitful labor, or to go be with the Lord, which for me is far better. See, he had a different perspective because he wrote those words, fix yourself, fix your mind on whatever is good and true. Think like God. There's a wonderful book written by John Ortberg. It's a new book, John Ortberg. Sorry, John Burke. And it's about heaven. And he has taken accounts of people who've died and had near-death experience or gone to heaven, and he's taken their testimony. I'm going to read you a testimony about the worst possible thing that could happen to you and me. Would you like to hear it? The worst possible thing that could happen to you and me. The hardest thing for me is finding the words to fully describe what I experienced in heaven. Because there are no human words that could even come close. I grasp at words like beautiful and brilliant and amazing. But they're really wildly inadequate. What I experienced in heaven was so real and lucid and utterly intense. It made my experience on earth seem hazy and out of focus, as if heaven is the reality and life as we know it is just a dream. It was the feeling of absolute purity and perfection, of something completely unblemished and unbroken, and it immersed me and filled me with the kind of peace and assurance I've never known on earth. It was like being bathed in love. It was a brightness. I didn't just see it, but felt it. And it felt familiar, like something I remembered or even recognized. The best way to put it was, I was home. That's the very worst thing that can happen to you. And what robs us of our peace is when we put more faith in the power of our circumstances to ruin our lives than the goodness and the love and the word of God to work everything out for our good. And so to live in peace, we must train our minds to trust God and his word. Train our minds. We train our bodies, but we must learn to train our minds. Your mind is a muscle. And I want to encourage you to think about training your mind to trust him and his word. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. You keep in perfect mind the mind who is stayed on you. Think on these things, the good stuff. Identifying what is robbing our peace, what we are thinking about. What am I thinking about because of this circumstance, or what has been said, or what might happen? What is going on in my mind? What is I'm thinking about, and why is it robbing my peace? And replacing it with God's truth for us. You replace your thought life with God's truth for us. And you learn to do it. And at first, it's not so easy. There's a story I like to tell about a man who lived in a farm, and he had a barn in the one area where he'd drive his big tractors down with those big wheels and on muddy days to make these big trenches. And then he had a lovely little cottage on the other side. But he only really ever used to use his tractor. So this was big mud tracks to the barn. But one day he decided to retire, and he sold the house to a lady who didn't have a big tractor. She had a mini. And so when she actually used to drive down, she found that she wanted to go to this rosy cottage, but because she was in the grains of the tractor, she'd go that way, but the tracks would take her the other way. And she, in order to go to the cottage, she had to, and this was the day before power steering, she had to exert pressure on the seat. And when she first did it, the tracks were so big that she went this way, but it still took her that way. But every time she exerted pressure, she eroded a little bit of the mud on the other way. And every time she went up and still went that way, because she was so used to going that way, every time she went up, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of erosion, until eventually she went over to the bump. And it opened the bump. And she kept doing it and kept leaning that way until after a number of seasons, she created a new track. That she would go down the track and she could almost take her hands off the wheel because it was now so used to it became natural for the car to go the other way. That's what happens in our thinking. When we're fearful about something, we say, why am I thinking this? What thinking is contrary to God's word, and what is the truth of God that actually counteracts it? And then you get hold of a scripture, a truth, or a revelation about God, and you reject the one thinking and submit your mind to think about. You memorize it. You thank God for it. You quote it in your prayers. You repeat it to yourself. And you choose to believe that truth, that faith. You fix your mind on that, and you begin to live in perfect peace. And at first, it's a difficult thing, and you might fail a bit and succeed and fail. But if you train yourself over the years, you will become acquainted with fixing your mind on God, and the consequence of it is that you will live in peace. Now, there's one more aspect of peace. Beautiful. The fruit of peace. So we've had the agreement of peace. It's yours, it's a right. We've had the gift of peace. It comes to us in a moment to help us. And we live in it. And then there's the fruit of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and self-control. This is not just when you're all right with God. Oh, that's a relief. This isn't just that you receive the peace and learn to maintain it and live in it, and it's the peace of God that is your gift, and you learn to allow it to remain on you. Do you know, let me just say this. When the Spirit of the Lord came from heaven and rested on Jesus, it says it remained on him. Learning for the peace and the presence of God to his peace to remain with us by faith. So we're not just in receiving it and then remain on us. Now, over the seasons and the years of living like this, we become a peaceful person. It becomes your character. The fruit of the Spirit, when it begins to work in our lives, it is because you have become, in your character, loving, joyful, peaceful, patient. You're then beginning to take on the character of Christ. You're being conformed, says the scripture, into his image. And so peace now is who you are. There's a phrase, isn't there? You've heard it. Sow a thought, reap an action, reap an action. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And you become these things as you sow and reap these principles in your life. Now, how do I then have the fruit of peace so that it's now part of my character? In other words, you get to a place, because it's you, you just can't be faced. It's impenetrable. Hello, you know, somebody can go boom and you just chill. You can't free. I am peace. I was reading a wonderful book on the Sermon on the Mount, and it talked about forgiveness, not having offense, letting the grievance go, showing mercy, kindness. And the writer of the book says this: we as the Christian community, we should be journeying to a place, not that we have to keep teaching about forgiving people. That's elementary. We should be the people who just don't get offended, because it's our character. We are impossible to actually offend, because we have lived this character. That's who Jesus was. He's just impossible to offend. That's why he's able to forgive you. He just doesn't get the hump with you. Says, that's it. I'm never going to forgive you now. He is just not like... He is loving. And your mess-ups don't take offense with him. So he's able to bring you mercy. Every time. Isn't it amazing? So just as we can become a people where we are unoffendable, because we have grown into Christ-like character, we can become a person who just doesn't get worried. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a part of growing in the grace of God and the Christ-like character. It's the fruit of peace. What do I do to collaborate with this? Because none of these things, they kind of drop out from heaven, but they don't. We have to collaborate with God by his grace. How do I get this? Firstly, principle number one. Submit to God in all circumstances. We would do well to cultivate a submitted heart to God. I submit to your love, to your goodness, to your will. I submit to you in this circumstance. You work out in me and through me and in this circumstance whatever you want. Your will be done. I just trust you because you are good and sovereign and able to sort it out. And I am not necessarily going to dictate to you how you should sort it out. I may pray my prayers of preference, but ultimately, you're the Lord, and I submit to you. Submit to God. Let go of control. Trust your Father. 2, trust God in prayer, in mind and action, as we've just read. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks to God, pray with all kinds of prayers, and the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. Trust God when you pray, with your mind and with your actions. If you trust God when you, with your prayer, okay, I've given it over to you, God, now. I trust that you've got it. You know, imagine this. You've got a problem in work. You go to a good manager, a good supervisor, and say, I've got a problem at work. And he just says, I got it, leave it with me, I'll sort it. You don't go back, have you sorted it yet? You know, if you know them and they're a good man, and they say, leave it with me, I'll sort it, and they're the type that you know they can do this, you just leave it with them. What we do with God, he is a good supervisor. He is very good at managing our lives. We give it to him, and we put it in and says, I give it to you, cast my cares upon you if you care for me, I trust you with it, you got it, I got it, I'll leave it with you. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know he's got it. And I'm submitted to whatever he brings back to me with this deal. So I'm trusting God with my mind. And that will determine some of the actions, because that might stop some of the fretful activity that we get in to try and sort it out, and we just make it worse. Now, it might result is we have a sense from the Lord, there is something to do here, that's fine. But there might be, actually, there's some restraint because we're trusting him. Thirdly, we praise and thanks in all circumstance. We're not thanking God for the horrible stuff that we're going through. We're thanking God that he is sovereign over it. Thank you, Lord, that we're sovereign over it. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you got it in your hand. Thank you that you can work it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I thank you. And we're giving thanks to God in our circumstance, not for our circumstance. You understand? I mean, if they're great circumstances, you could think, oh, this is great, you know. But if it's a tough deal, and we know that it's not God's desire for us, but we've got to work it through, we thank God in it, not over it. Not for it, you know what I mean. Yeah, God. So. Then, fourthly, we have an expectation that God will bring about the ultimate good for us. At the right time, in the right way. And we trust him what that looks like. Because he's wiser than us. We trust in his wisdom. First thing that God ever said to me when I became a Christian, first prophecy I ever received, it was the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever prophesied to me before, and this is what it was. Trust in the Lord. Actually, it's this. Do not lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he'll make your pathway straight. First thing God ever said to me through a prophetic word, and it was the words coming out of the person's mouth. I knew it was the Lord. It was like honey. They were so sweet. It was an amazing experience. Julian, do not lean on your own understanding. I am more clever than you. I am wiser. I am smarter. Don't trust yourself to figure it out. Okay, I got it. Acknowledge me in everything, in every circumstance. Just acknowledge me. Bring me into it. Bring me into it, Lord. I'm bringing you into this, and I will make your pathway straight. I don't always know where it leads, but I trust in his wisdom to live in peace. What do I think the Lord would want to say to you and me this Christmas? I think it's the same that the angel said. Don't be afraid. Know his peace. Grow in peace. Practice peace. That's putting these things into practice. Practice peace. So in the last 5 minutes of our meeting this morning, I'm going to invite you, if you want to stand. I'm going to lead you so that you can give any of the cares that you have over to the Lord in a moment. Say, you got it? And then I'm going to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace, to come and give us a gift and a blessing of peace this morning. And now I'm going to encourage you to practice the principles of peace every day. And you might want to listen to this talk again on the internet and make a few notes and make it your life's discipline to become peace. Have the fruit of peace in your life. Let's stand. Holy Spirit comes on a settled heart. So the first thing I want you to do is relax. So close your eyes and get comfortable. Comfy. Feel comfy. And you might just want to breathe in and out, just to relax. First thing I want to encourage you to do now is to believe and just accept and thank God that he has made an agreement with you that you have peace with God. He's okay with you. Are we okay, God? Yeah, we're okay. Not because you're perfect, not because you never mess up, but because of your faith in Christ. And thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Now, there may be something or some things that are particularly troublesome to you. And in a quiet whisper, I want you to do what the scripture says and cast your care on Jesus. Give it to him. Give it to him and let him take it and know that he's got it and he can manage it. Just tell him about it. And ask him to sort it and work everything out for your good and the good. And trust that he will. And thank him that he will. And submit yourself to his outcome. Trusting it's a better outcome. Just continue to rest. Don't be fractious. Don't be fractious. Trust him. Trust him. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's going to be brilliant. When all said and done, it's going to be okay. You're going to be home. And now I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I just want you to settle your hearts again. And when I ask the Holy Spirit to come, I'm going to ask you to wait. If you wait, he'll come. And some may feel it on your bodies, him on your bodies. You may feel his love, his reassurance, his power, just his peace. Or just a gentle invitation to continue to trust him. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Come now. Like a dove, come Holy Spirit upon every single person in this room and give the gift of peace. Come powerfully, come gently, come like a dove, come and settle on your children with a grace of assurance. Give them faith and the gift of faith for their future. A revelation of your love and tenderness for them. Come, Holy Spirit, more powerfully. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, more powerfully. And speak in the way that they understand, that will encourage them. And we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, you just get an image in your mind, and it's like a symbol, and it'll just come quickly. It might not be bright, it might be gentle, it might be quick, but an image will come, and it's symbolic. And what that means to you, what the most obvious meaning to you, is usually the right one, in terms of what God's trying to say. Because he speaks in your language. He's not trying to trick you. He wants you to understand him. Or some of you might have a scripture that comes to mind. Or something I've said comes to your mind immediately. Or something that somebody else is going to come to your mind. Or you might just get a sense. And you take these things by faith and you go, thank you that that's you. And if it's good, comforting and encouraging, it's from the Lord. If it's worrisome, disturbing, it's from you. Because God brings encouragement, comfort, because he knows the good end. And if it's the worrisome thing, it's usually from you. Holy Spirit, begin to speak now words of encouragement and peace to everyone, that each one may have something to take away from this service. Release your gifts of prophecy and encouragement and personal words to strengthen and encourage and comfort every individual. Do it now, Holy Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name. Just wait now, wait. I release upon you the grace of God in Jesus' name to live and learn a life of peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.